It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome. It's Mark Husson. This is Mark's Astrology Hour coming to you live July 8th at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. on the East Coast. And I am live. This is real time. How you doing? I'm so grateful that you decided to come and listen to me if you're listening live. And if you are listening to a replay, thank you. Thank you so much. So if you want, and if you're a first timer, or if you just simply forgot how to do it, you come over to the Facebook page and say hi to us if you want, or just watch all the comments if there are any today. We'll see if people are showing up from this beautiful holiday week. So you go over to 12radio.com. You look on the left-hand side of the page and click the chat link, and then you'll be brought over to the Facebook page where you will see some beautiful people. Looks like Jay got my banner up. Thanks, Jay. If you scroll down a little bit, you'll see where it says comments, and then you can hit where it says top comments. You can hit all comments, and then you'll see people like Penny in the house. Good morning, Penny. Truly's here. Hi, Truly. You're feeling a bit tired after that long 4th of July weekend. I can't wait to hear what Mark has to share. Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you, Truly. No pressure, Mark. Say something good. Lynn Goldberg, good to see you. Thank you. It is time to dance. Thank you so much. I do love my opening music so much. I wanted to make it longer so I could like sort of have the intro where I'm just sort of like jamming with you guys. Jackie Walsh, how you doing? So happy to be here on this marvelous Monday morning with Mark and the Mystics. Ready for my hour to empower, Jackie. I'm telling you, you got the words and the wisdom and the inspiration. Thank you so much. Hi, Renee. How you doing? Good morning. Thank you all for being here. It's so good to see you. It is a Leo moon. I know. I love Leo moons because anytime the moon is in fire, I kind of like it for myself because I think it has to do with the fact that I'm so much water that inspiration of fire, that sort of like help from fire comes in. I mean, a lot of people think fire and water are opposites. They're not. They are not the opposites. It's water and air are the opposites. And fire has that inspiration to it that water understands, because water can be inspiring too. It's just that we can do it a lot of times through a fantasy, and fire is like, get off your butt and do it like for real. So fire has that inspiration. When the moon is in Leo, I think sometimes depending on where it is in your chart, and this is so important for you to understand your chart, just a little. You don't have to like get into all the details and the nuances and let all the persnickety people think that the squares and trines and all these little weird aspects, you know, the math. I knew a teacher once, all Taurus. Rest her soul. She insisted that the first part of astrology had to be the math. And I mean, I'm great. And a lot of the left brainers of the planet, a lot of the air signs loved it. But if you were me struggling with that, you're like, can I just get to trying to understand myself a little? I mean, no, you have to do this cosine of the time of the planet and, you know, incrementally move it forward and use this giant book to help you get. And I'm like, okay, thank you, computers, for all that you do, because I did just want to get to the meat of it. So if you could just look at that chart, if you could just sort of slowly let yourself wrap around the fact that you are a sign, you're a sign. Everybody knows their sign, right? Everybody knows their sign. And in fact, when people are visiting, like people fixing the cable or the electrical, and I go, what sign are you? And they say, I don't know. I immediately see red flags of super religious in my head. Now, that's a terrible generalization, but I usually just leave it alone. I'm like, if you seriously grew up in this culture and don't know what sign you are, you probably have the answer of, I don't know, as a defense mechanism against, we aren't going down that road, right? And so whatever, it's all good. I usually don't ask people their sign unless it's a little more friendly and I can feel their vibe, because it's a personal, number one. It's like that same, when's your birthday? And it's like, yeah, that's not, you know, that's not like a light, how's the weather thing to say or ask somebody. I do like to know, though, because if you just know your sun sign, and if I know somebody's sun sign, then I have a key, a little bit of a key into their whole life, just a little bit. Now, as we got more intelligent and as we started learning more about the charts, we're like, there's the moon sign and there's the Venus sign and there's the Mercury sign. And blah, 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 blah. All that sort of matters. But all of it essentially sort of circles the drain of the sun sign. And that's why it's so fun. Like, what's your basic sun sign? And if you're so different than your sun sign, that's even more fascinating, because it says something about the way your planet, that sun, is interacting in the chart with other planets. Where it's like, if it's close to something else, or if it's been hurt by the environment. Like if they didn't like that you were a female Aries, acting like, you know, you wanted to go play baseball. I mean, things have changed, but you know, it's sort of like whatever it would be, the judgment on you coming, being who you are, because the social moray at the time doesn't like it. It could have thwarted a little bit of who you are. It could have thwarted a little bit of your personal identity. And so you reach to other parts of yourself to compensate. So the Leo today, the Leo moon, is in Leo today. So it's going to be in Leo until tomorrow morning, which it'll go to Virgo. So we'll all be cleaning tomorrow. I tell you, astrological generalizations are horrible, but they're kind of fun. But they kind of can get the point across. If you allow me to generalize a little bit, because I get that not all Virgos are clean freaks, and not all, I mean, I lived with one that wasn't a clean freak, actually. He was actually the, you know, it's like the opposite of puritanical. And so that part of Virgo. And so, but tomorrow the moon will be in Virgo. So today we get to enjoy a Leo moon and sort of what it brings. And so it's nice to sort of understand a little bit about that effect. Now, Venus is going to be joining that moon. Well, Venus will be also in Leo Thursday. So that's a big change. And I want you to pay attention to it, because that is kind of a big change. It's going from Cancer, where the focus of our comfort and our what we desire and what we want, which is security. This is why everyone's so hysterical about the elections, right? One of the reasons, one of the reasons. And I'm going to talk about the election because I think it's important to get it out there where I stand, necessarily, not on a personal level with people. It doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. What matters is that we look at this thing, and so many astrologers are willing to predict who they think, based on the chart, is going to win. And I don't want to do that. And I know that's disappointing to you, because you want to lean on that really heavily, and because so many of you are so afraid of what's coming and what you think is coming. And it's just so much fear in the space. The reason is because what's happening is so much bigger than two people, than two old, let me just say it, two old white guys running. There's like the world is bigger than this. Okay. It's way bigger. And what's happening is way bigger. And the reason I think it's way bigger is because I've seen the USA chart, and we're having a Pluto return. Nobody gets a Pluto return that's alive. So we're seeing the reframing of our lives, the reprint here of life. And it's happening to the degree at the election. So there is a definite, it's a form of watching this mortal coil of America, watching it come full circle. Now, if you could step on the sidelines long enough to get a little safe in your safety zone, you can watch the movie unfold. You can make sure that your life is okay. Then you can do all this judgment and throw all this blame and do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. We can do that. We can definitely know how to make ourselves unpeaceful. But if you can watch this change in the zeitgeist in the forever, on November 19th is when Pluto will forever be out of Capricorn and in our lifetime and the lifetime after, because it takes like some 260 years to go around, we can enjoy this shift in what's happening and we can believe in something bigger. I don't believe in either of those people running. I've told you that. I don't want to believe in somebody else taking care of my life or my dream for me. I want to believe in something bigger. I mean, I believe in the planets are metaphors for us. Dear God, I'm not going to hand that sort of power over to an individual with an ego the size of Jupiter. I mean, there's a lot of hubris out there. But so why not take the stance of this is our movie, this is unfolding, it's going to be okay, we'll survive, I'm pretty sure we're going to survive, short of a nuclear holocaust or something like that, but that's always looming, right? That's always some possibility. But if you can come back to this moment where you can feel a little bit more like, what matters to you? It will save you a ton of worry, a ton of fretting, a ton of cortisol. Isn't that what it is? Cortisol, the aging hormone created by stress. And you can come back to what really matters again. You can come home. Now, a lot of you are really invested, and I get that. I was one of you. I was one of you. I am divested. The reason I'm divested is because some things matter way more than this. And I realize that. I'm not taking a friend. A friend of mine is going to chemo tomorrow or this week. All of a sudden, when real things happen, it does sort of bring you back to the what matter moment, right? What matters? I want these two freaks to take my life, take my attention, interrupt my sleep, interrupt my worry, interrupt the feeling of love that I could have for another person in front of me or my baby boys, my little doggies who are becoming, I didn't think it was possible, but more lovable. It's like, I don't want to give it up like that, you guys. And so to talk about it, like I know who's going to win. I don't know who's going to win. But to talk about it as if I do is just sort of like a form of trying to get points so people listen to the radio show. Trying to get points. So 50-50 chance that I'll be considered a good astrologer. I don't care about that. What I care about is how we and how I can bring information to us that reminds us that we're okay, that life is okay. And then if it's not okay, what we need to do and what things we have around us to get it better. I was thinking today how we can frame things, like, and how important it is. I was thinking about affirmations. Like, and I was thinking, like, you know, they almost got it right. They almost got it right. Because what needs to happen, the affirmation community believe that if we just say it, if we say it like it's positive and we take out all negative thinking and if we take it, that it'll happen, we can manifest it. And okay, that's all good. I'm not arguing with that point, okay? But what it did was make what my true assessment and my true feelings are wrong. It just made them wrong. I'm not allowed to say I feel like shit or I don't like you. I'm not allowed to say that I wasn't even allowed at some point during the heart of the secret times, you know, like when it was all about manifestation to say, you know, that joke kills me. People would say, cancel. It's like living in this crossfire, this mine, like, you know, like the minefields where you like every step is like, look down and make sure you don't step on that thing. Make sure you're going to blow up. So watch every word you say and make sure you got it perfect, because this is how we don't offend the gods. Don't you think that some sort of weird, deeply rooted DNA thing in us? Offending the gods? Because that's why punishment happens. And that's what karma became. Karma became our way of saying punishment because you're evil. Punishment because you deserved it. It's the same thing. We look for that stuff. Every day we're looking for something to blame or someone to blame. And God knows it always ends up at some point circling around to us at some point where it's like, I'm to blame. I'm to blame. Instead of the recognition that you're in a minefield, and it's okay to be as happy as you can in the moments that you pick. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to not love everybody because we don't even know what that is. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, it's certainly not okay to go do something to them because you don't love them, but you can at least acknowledge, I'm not a big fan over here of that. That's all. And the reason I say, you know, it's like taking action means that your position is correct. Oh, it's more like, no, it's just, it's my position. Let's not give it a value. Because if I think I'm correct and I hate the people I hate need to go, then that's trouble. But if I'm just don't like you, it's okay. I mean, that's a position. That's a judgment. That's a form of taste, right? And we're allowed to have that. And I think affirmations kind of got it right. Like, get us on the right track to believe in something, to be positive about something. But where they messed up was then it became, if your good thoughts create good things, then the opposite must be true. Your bad thoughts are creating bad things. And then what happens when people get sick? And then what happens when people have an accident? They brought it on themselves. They're wrong. Their thoughts were bad. Do you see how cruel this is? This is like witch hunt days. And so there has to be something you opt out of a little greater than that. Something that you're willing to like, okay, this is mine. These are my feelings. And I watch my feelings every day, dear God, if I could hand them over sometimes. I watch the sense of like, wow, undeserving or too deserving or ego or non-ego. I mean, I just watch it flow. And sometimes I wake up and I'll go, you don't feel very good today. You're not very happy. And then I go, I'm getting dressed. Because after 2 years of walking the boys in the morning, I did notice it becomes this thing you don't think about, because I used to dread it. Now it's just like, let's get dressed. Let's get the leashes. Let's go. Because I want them to have their morning walk. And for no other reason, I don't want the morning walk. I'd stay in bed all day. I don't want it. But I've turned it into this thing. Like I wake up and I go, oh, you feel like shit. I can tell your mind is not happy. So then it's like, let's work it out on the walk. And then I make a deal with myself that we turn it around before we come home. Whatever it is, just like, let's be with it. Let's go investigate it. I'm pretty gentle with it, if I say so myself. But I do watch it. Like I watch the, whatever the judgment is, whatever the feeling is, whatever I think the source of fear is, you know, not enough of this, not enough of that. What if? And then by the end of the walk, as per my promise, I'm a little lighter. I gave that to myself. But if I was doing this during The Secret or during, you know, taking an affirmation class, I would have tortured myself. I wouldn't know any of those things existed in me. I wouldn't know that I was feeling a little bummed out. I wouldn't know, or a lot bummed out, or I was angry, or I just felt that, you know, whatever judgments emerge, right? They just emerge. They're pathetic. But they're also judged. They're also me. They're part of me. I don't get to like just dismiss them as like, the, you know, fill it with something positive. No, bring it to the front. Bring it here and let's work on it. What is it? I hate this person. Okay. What? Okay, good. What else? What's it feel like? Just keep going. And all of a sudden it changes. Like, and where it changed the most for me was family for me. I realized how hard and deep and powerful the criticism that ran rampant among every, there was what, 9 aunts and uncles on both sides. So that's like 18, 20 people. Some of the meanest, uncaring people, some of the most thoughtful, some very kind, I think. But what I remember most is this insidious criticism and jealousy and hatred toward each other, toward other people, toward, you know, the sort of side eye and the sort of leaning in and talking. And it wasn't until my 60s, my personal 60 rebellion years, where I realized, oh my God, I am free of it. Except I wasn't free of it on the inside necessarily. It was all in there, right? But I started being free of it physically by distancing, by sort of pulling back, by sort of like, oh my God, just come on. And then I came up with this concept for myself of leveraging. Like, people, do they have any leverage over you? Is that why you hold on to them? That you don't want them to talk about you? Is that leverage? Is money leverage? Yeah, money will always be leverage. None of them have money to give me or to offer me or to hold out for. And if they did, now it really wouldn't matter. But it did at one time when I was young. Like, I had a rich uncle who just held that over our heads. And, you know, he did. He held it over our heads and he followed through. You know, those of us that didn't kiss his ass didn't get anything. And those that did got everything. It's great. Good for him. But the leverage of people in our lives, like, how many people are we not telling the truth to because they can make our lives miserable? And that's a legitimate place to be. That's good. Make a note of it. It changes when you see it. Like, when you see it and you go, I can't tell the truth here because there's a lot of punishment that can come down on me. Good. Then tell yourself the truth. Don't forget it. Just be aware of it and then move on. And yeah, we got to keep it quiet here. There's no integrity in telling somebody you think they're a butt. But there's integrity in you telling yourself that you think they're a butt and stay with it. Like, why? What's going on? You know, like, take a look at it. Is it, did you know, whatever that is, just you look at it for yourself. I don't care. I have no judgment on it. But the freest thing that ever happened to me was that release. Being able to stop talking to them, for one. I still have friend requests. I'm not accepting them. I don't care. It's not about being righteous. It's not about making them wrong. It's about me going, you have a choice here with your little boy. You don't have to bring them people into your life. And then every once in a while, think about, like, I wonder what they're thinking of that post I made. Or, you know, I'm just like, I take it back. I don't care. I want to be happy. Okay, so what's preventing that? What leverage do people have? What, number one, let's get rid of that. Okay, there's no leverage. And there's no, I forgot your birthday, so now you're going to torture me for a month, whatever energy, which I can't stand that either. I'm sorry. It's like, whatever. I don't care if people remember my birthday. I certainly don't care. I don't want them to care if I forget theirs. Has nothing to do with love. And you could say, well, if I was important enough, yeah, that might be true. They put it in their calendar. I mean, like, you have to work that out. I don't know. But for me, it was about ending the leverage, ending the strings. Okay, now, in astrology, that's a Uranian thing. So you would look to Uranus. It's an Aquarian thing. It's a Scorpio thing. What do I mean by that? If you have strong planets there, you're way more likely to need to have a way to sever ties, to get the to make more black and white definitive decisions than people who are more mutable, who are willing to, who can easily flip into both sides of the argument or both sides of the vision. And that's where astrology is also very healing. Like, you have a friend who can just get along with everybody, but you can't. I bet you have some fixed energy in you. I bet you have some fixed signs in you. I bet you have very sensitive placements. And sensitive placements are the harder ones because then it's harder for you to do anything about it definitively. Because you're sensitive. You're like, oh, I don't want to hurt them, but God, that hurt really bad. Like, right? So that's where your chart can come in a sort of forgiveness zone. That's where you get a chance to see, understanding your chart is a chance to see, like, why is that person able to let it go and I can't? Why am I able to let it go and that person can't? Boy, that is so invaluable. And if you're fixed, So your sun sign being in Scorpio, in Aquarius, in Leo, or in Taurus, there's a good chance you have a lot more of that going on. Like I had to cut them off. And how many of you fixed signs have said, and when that door shuts, it never opens? Now that includes Leo rising, Scorpio rising, Taurus rising, Aquarius risings, and moons. And how many of you all have said, when that door shuts, it just doesn't open? Because I've said that a lot in my life. I opened it though, for some. But that is where you know, okay, that person, like they seem so rigid, and you look at their chart and they go, oh, they are. Well, they are. Okay, I'm hitting refresh, checking on you guys, see how you're doing. Oh, okay. They seem so unforgiving. Yeah, guess what? They are. And so what? It's like part of who we are. Okay. We see Tara, thank you for coming. Patricia, thanks for being here. Hey, Pamela, fire and water is steamy. Good morning, Mark and friends. Love holidays, but they put me off my game. Bring it on anyway. I hear you, Pamela. And, you know, I was talking to a friend about another Cancer friend about how, you know, I watched the fireworks on TV. I watched the Macy's Central, what was it? Hudson River fireworks. They were fucking, I'm sorry, sorry. They were extraordinary. Morning language. I try to keep a little light, but they were amazing. And other friends I have that went and saw them in person and everything. But it, you know, at first I'm like diminishing the fact that I was telling him, like, it feels so diminished that I'm watching them on TV. And he said, hi, Ryan. That's so funny. So that we were watching them on TV, and we were having this agreement, like, you know, it's what's the difference? Why is the joy any different, right? Why is the joy any different? So anyway, yeah, I got sidetracked there, and I'm coming back. Hi, Mary Jean. Good to have you here. Quelly, thanks for being here. Jennifer Lakshmi's in the house. Jennifer's one of the advisors over at 1-2 Listen, which is 1-2 Day this week, Friday. We have 1-2 Day. So don't forget, that is where the computer randomizes the prices for the advisors. These advisors are seriously hot. I mean, whatever's happening in the zeitgeist of the world, the advisors are like busy. They've been really busy. And I'm grateful every day for their support and their kindness and their ability to get there and beyond and be there for you. God, that's one of the things I think about in the mornings on my walks. The what if. And then the other side of what if is being grateful, like gratitude. So don't forget about the gratitude board. We'll talk about gratitude. I'll beat it over your head here in a minute. Laura, good for you for being here. Thank you. Charlene, good morning. Just want to share what a wonderful week I've had. Was watching the sunset the other night, and a little voice inside me said, and I'm happy. I am happy. Oh, said, I am happy. For that moment, I could let my personal critic go. Oh, my God. Big sigh. Charlene, that's just inspired. I know that feeling where there's a little moment where you go, you know, I'm actually happy. And it just, and then the critic's like, rah, 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 goes away, just stops. It's like every movie you've ever seen when, you know, all of a sudden there's this little burst of sunlight and the shadow disappears. It's like, this is great. Thank you for sharing that, Charlene. Karen Erickson, you have Venus in Leo in the third. It is time. You better get your hair done, girl. Just teasing. Venus in Leo, though, I used to always say Venus in Leo was the bad hair day placement. Like, we're way more aware of bad hair days when Venus goes into Leo. Now, that's happening Thursday morning. So pay attention, watch out for it, and just see, like, how you're feeling, like, where Venus is going. How do I feel? Because Leo is about the main, you know, it seems so cliche, but it is about the main. And so there will be some of us that are going, I mean, I'll be looking at the hair on my shoulders going, damn, just tease it. No, I'm not. Good morning, Mark, Joni. You are very entertaining and I had to just say so. Thank you, Joni. I'm always educated when I listen to you. I am of the age of remembering the cancel era. That is great, Joni. Yes, you guys, I still do that. When you have a thought, that you don't think, like, whether you feel like you're psychic or whether you get premonitions or whatever, when you think of somebody that you don't like, and if you, like, I'll drop cancel signs on them, like, cancel, cancel. Because I feel like that, I don't know the difference between that's a premonition coming my way and that person's probably going to call, or it's just a thought. Either way, they get canceled. I'm like, I ain't having it. Or if I have like, oh gosh, I don't want the boys to be, you know, I want to get out early before the Bears come or whatever it is. Cancel, cancel. I still cancel, cancel. I do. It's funny. And it is like superstition, right? I mean, it's like an affirmation. Like, just because I'm saying it positive doesn't mean that it's going to be, just because I'm saying it. But for me, it's simply acknowledging that sometimes I have a thought that I can't tell the difference between it's a negative thought I felt something. I don't know. I would never call myself psychic, because the minute I call myself psychic, I lose all psychic ability. But I feel things. And if I get a thought, a random thought, like about a person, if I don't work with that, I will hear from them. It's weird. But anyway, thanks for reminding me, Joni, of the cancel, cancel eras. Yeah, I drop a delete sign, like the circle with the slash through it. I just drop it right over the whole scene. That's my thing now. 1-2-Day is Friday. Don't want to miss on that. 1-2listen.com. You guys, thank you for your support. I'm telling you, I don't know. This week has been super grateful for me with you guys. And the gratitude board. And the thing about gratitude that's different than an affirmation is the feeling of gratitude requires you to come together with some thoughts about things that actually you're grateful for, not things you're hoping you'll be grateful for. Now, there is that form of gratitude. We'll talk about that in a sec. But the idea that to put together what I'm really grateful for, to take a minute, because what that's doing is it's bringing some collective energy in you. And you remember that doctor, and I always forget his name, I don't care. The one that he had a Netflix thing that, okay, why do I even try to get his name? I don't want to, but he had a Netflix show, Saul or something like that, whatever, not Better Call Saul. But there's a movie star that had him on, and he said this thing, and this is what matters, not who the guy is, it doesn't matter. He said, when you go to think of gratitude, start the process, like just start, like you start. You think, I'm grateful for my dogs, or I'm grateful for my health, like just as you start. But before you start listing them, just the process of opening up to I'm going to look at my world in the form of gratitude starts an energy. That energy, he was saying, just build it in you. Just stay there for a minute. The about to be grateful for energy, just stay there for a minute. And at some point, carry that. Like, you don't have to list everything. You know what's weird about listing things? And this is why I'm opposed to people. Like, one of my staff wanted to send everybody, a lovely person, wanted to send, like, to honor everybody's birthday. And I didn't want to do that, because the minute you start listing people's birthdays, you're going to forget somebody. And then it could be hard for them, right? It just takes a minute. So I don't like that, because if you're starting to list what you're grateful for, you might forget something, and you know, it's like, whatever. And then you go, oh, why didn't I think of that? It makes me feel. So just hold the collective idea of gratitude together and keep that in your belly for a minute. That's pretty amazing thing to do, because it keeps us a little bit in that zone of like, whoa, it is like it can be a rush, because there is so much to be grateful for. There's a lot to hate on, right? There is. There's a lot to hate on. I hate that my friend has to, you know, face chemo. But there's a lot to be grateful for. Her will, her spirit to do this, to be alive. The future, thinking of hope and the way things have changed. It's like whatever, but so there's always something to find that you can smile about. Now, 1-2-Listen, we put together the gratitude board at 1-2-Listen. It's under the advisors, anonymous. Nobody, I don't want any of your information. I don't give a crap about who's putting it. I want you to just put it into words somewhere just so you can feel it. Type it out, what you're grateful for. And this is where making it up comes in. if you're waiting to hear about your job and you haven't heard yet and you're waiting for a job, put in, I'm so grateful I got the job. Just try that for a minute, because what it does is it tickles that little energy in you. And I'm not doing the affirmation thing where I'm saying, do it and pretend it's real, because that just is going to hurt you. Do it and feel what it feels like when you do get it, or if you do get it, or when the time comes when you will be celebrating that kind of joy. Do it for that reason and carry that and spread it out. That's what we got to do. There's enough landmines here to make life crap, right? We get that. What we don't really know how to do is to avoid sinking into that. It's because it is kind of a quicksand, right? So Leo Moon, thank you, because that is the metaphor. We're using the planets as metaphors, right? Only metaphors. It's reflecting. This Leo Moon means that there's a part of us open to hearing some positive encouragement, okay? Venus going into Leo on Thursday will remind us that not only are we don't have to worry about security anymore, what we can do is embrace the things that we really hope for. They embrace the hope, the love. Embrace generosity. We can start really appreciating kindness. Like, we're Cancer, Venus in Cancer wants to make sure the home is safe and that things are in order, and we worry about the kids or the dogs or whatever. Venus in Leo sort of elevates us up a notch. So we get a chance to feel a little more hopeful, because the sign after you, like, the sign after Cancer is Leo, and then after Leo is Virgo. So you know that thing where you go, well, Cancers are about home and love, and but they worry. And then the sign after Cancer has what Cancer lacks, which is the optimism, the hope of the future. And the sign after Leo, Virgo, has what Leo lacks, which is like, well, the details. Bring your head down here for a minute. While your head's in the clouds, you might be stepping on a landmine. And then you go into Virgo, and Virgo is kindness and servitude. And then Virgo has, then Libra has what Virgo lacks, which is like the relational part. Because Virgo's like, can you just leave me alone? Let me do my cleaning. And then Libra has what Virgo lacks, which is like the friendship, the being kind to people, seeing the good in everybody. Like, Libras like to keep it light and easy, and oh, I see the goodness in you. They're Venus ruled, right? Well, what does Scorpio have that Venus doesn't have? The ability to go, boy, you got some dark in you, right? They see the flaw. Venus, Libra doesn't want to know about that. Scorpio's like, nope, it's there. I see it right there. And then Sag has what Scorpio lacks, which is the, again, optimism. Fire signs always bring us up. So we go from the, I see the flaw in the darkness that lurks in you. Sag goes, I see the hope and the optimism and the promise of the future that can bring. And then Sag and Capricorn has what Sag lacks, which is the pragmatism of like, well, bring it down here and let's get it to work. Quit living in the clouds all the time. Yeah, we get it. It's like there's a lot to be hopeful for and grateful for, but you got to put it to work. And then Aquarius brings in what Capricorn lacks, which is the humanitarian factor. Like, wait a minute, there are people here. It's not all about what feeds your personal ambition. We got to take care of the world in a sense, like end world hunger, you know, end homelessness. But don't bring those homeless people into my home. That's Aquarius. And then Pisces has what Aquarius lacks, which is bring them in. Bring everybody in, which is why I don't go to any Pisces parties, because they bring everybody in. And so they see the good in everyone, but they also end up sometimes allowing themselves to be stepped on or hurt or convinced of one way is the right way, you know, because of whoever they're with, whoever they're around. And then that's where Aries comes in. And Aries has what Pisces lacks, which is like me. There's a boundary here. You don't get to walk into it. If you want to keep up with me, come on. I'm happy to have you, but I don't care. And then Taurus has what Aries lacks, which is like groundedness. Like, wait a minute, I ain't budging. You can move all you want, but I am not moving from this space until my couch is comfortable, until my bank account is filled, and my belly as well. Because, you know, Taurus is inside the word restaurant, right? So it's all about the food and the belly and the security. And then Gemini has exactly what Taurus lacks, which is alacrity, flexibility, movement, get off your butt and let's talk to people. Back to Cancer having what Gemini lacks, which is a sense of feeling, friendship, oneness, family. Like, it's okay. Like, a non-fear of being stuck. And then we start all over again. So take that with you and enjoy a little bit of understanding why this Leo moon is bringing you a sense of readiness to be uplifted, head up in the air. And the moon after it, which comes tomorrow and stays with us until Thursday, will be, let's bring some of this energy down and get really practical, because the window that you're looking out of to get the sunshine is filled with fingerprints. So we got to clean them. Okay. All right. I'm going to check your comments, see how you're doing. Thank you again for being here with me today. I still don't like how Facebook has this, because you have to hit 3 buttons just to get back to where I was. And so when I do that, I see, thank you, truly. Jonah Hill brought Dr. Stutz. Thank you, truly. Okay. Yeah, it was Jonah Hill, who I don't know how I feel about Jonah Hill, but he did bring Dr. Stutz to a special on Netflix. And Dr. Stutz was like one of those therapists that I think people find in their lives it's like John, when they find John, it's like, oh my God, you're wise. You have such wisdom. And he's the one that talked about bringing gratitude as a belly full before you think about the details of it, just bringing the act of gratitude, the attempt at gratitude. Thanks, truly. I know, it's like, I don't like pulling that stuff. I'm reminded of it about every 3 months. And that's sort of why, like, that's a good thing to talk about. Now, we have about 10 more minutes left. So wanted to go run through at least some of the events of the week and a little bit. There's a book out that Stephen Arroyo wrote, and he's talking about sort of like the what he's learned along the way of astrology. He's a psychological astrologer. He's a follower of Jung. His books were brilliant, right? They were just really great intros to astrology, because it wasn't turning astrology into this black and white thing that, you know, predicts your future, because you can't predict future like that. What you can say, like, you can have a Jupiter transit, and I always tell people, when Jupiter hits your moon, you're going to get gifts. Just be ready. Well, Jupiter hit my friend's moon and the gift is chemo? What? Maybe it is. But still, it's, you can't look at this stuff as just this patent, okay, every time Jupiter hits your moon, it's going to be good, what we call good. Because we're deeper than that, right? We have to look not only at the events in a person's life, but, you know, we have to look at how they're running this energy. Like, imagine somebody who's very shy and private, and you tell them Jupiter's going to bring you out into the world. It's a nightmare prediction. That's not what they want to know. And Jupiter doesn't have to do that. Okay. But we know big event coming, big event happening. And that I'm convinced that with Jupiter there, there will be great resources and that there is a lot to be hopeful for. And I want to, you know, I keep that. But you can't take a chart and just say, hey, this is across the board, everybody with this moon and Jupiter hitting it is going to do well, because everybody has a different relationship to how their planets are tools for them. And like I said, depending on how you were raised, you might have a strong moon function. You might use your moon well, but Jupiter hitting that, I don't know. It could be like for you, your moon wasn't very strong, and Jupiter making it like the point of focus for you could be very difficult. That's all I'm saying. So this week, though, we're having the one ingress, one planet changing signs, that's Venus, going from Cancer to Leo. I think you're going to really appreciate that. I think you're going to start feeling good. You have Tuesday and Wednesday to work on some of this Virgo energy, to work on some of this, like, let's get some of the details done. I got to do the windows here for sure. We've had a cool spell here, so I'm waiting for it to warm up a little bit, but that's going to be one of the first things, is getting that handled. But that's how you start thinking under these cycles. Okay, so about the election, we're watching it as a moment in time. We're watching it as the Pluto return of the U.S. We're watching it with entertaining eyes. We're trying to see where we move and how the U.S. is having its Pluto return and how it hits the how it's going to hit its own reset button. We're sitting on the sidelines. These are affirmations now. We're sitting on the sidelines. We're watching. We're engaging. But we're not letting it destroy the fiber of who we are. We're not letting it dim our gratitude. We join on that. We don't dim our gratitude. There's not one person out there, not an old fart, no matter what, that has to dim the light of hope inside of you. Not anybody out here needs to be able to do that. That's the leverage I'm talking about with family. It's the leverage I'm talking about with anybody. So I'm going to close up with this. A couple announcements. Jay is taking a much needed vacation and it's a celebratory vacation. So a lot of the shows are replays. There's a lot of new shows this week though. A lot of them, he went and they pre-recorded some shows. So you may not hear live. If you sense, oh, that's not very live, it could be that. Some people will be doing live because they will be producing themselves. Hope you'll listen in and support, because that's how we get to put our arms around you and thank you and love on you, because I'm telling you, without you, really, what are we? One to Listen and One to Academy are both starting to bring classes now on One to Academy, and One to Listen has three new advisors that are pretty extraordinary. They'd have to be to pass our gauntlet. It's hell. You don't just get to say, hey, I'm good with people and work here. That's what I want you to know. And we're getting known for that. And I think people are starting to trust that. And there's a lot of big names in the industry that trust that. But mostly I want you to trust that. Okay. The information is super protected. We're so grateful to have the person who did our technology is worse about privacy than we are. And so that's pretty serious. So your privacy is completely protected. When you call an advisor, what they see and what you see on your phones is the name SPG Solutions. That's all they see. There's no tracking of phone numbers. There's nothing. You are completely anonymous. And the same is true for chat. You can also do video chat where you can hide yourself and look at the advisor. It's up to you. So we've definitely curated this in the most safe way we know how to do. I think we're the only internet company, one of the few of our size at One to Listen that is independently owned. And I'm still grateful for that, right? And I am incredibly grateful for you. And you all bring a smile to my face every Monday morning. I swear to you, it's amazing. I get to go see my friend today. I'm excited. I know that each of you have your own thing that you're dealing with in life, and some of you have obstacles that just seem insurmountable. Please use this show, my voice, our hope, our gratitude board, everything you can together to step out of the fray of the panic and the fear and the burden of it, just for a moment, to get a little strength, get a little oxygen to the parts of you that you are grateful for and the things that in your life that are working, okay? Because it's okay. There's really nothing is greater than something else here. We're all in this sort of like ship waiting to figure out how we get out. Okay. With that in mind, this is Mark Husson. This has been Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. What a title. Okay, you guys, big hugs to you. See you in a week. 1-2 day is Friday. Go get a reading. Talk to you soon.
Lori Light from 12listen.com. We want to remind you today that it's beautiful the way you show up in this world, unguarded and willing to try again, despite all the ways it has tried to defeat you, the way you tuck courage into yourself each morning, the way you refuse to be anything but hopeful in this world despite the inner battles you fight, despite the struggles you have experienced for so long. The way you twist your losses into lessons. The way you fight even when you feel weak. You are not weak. There is a resounding level of courage to be found in being the person who continues to heal, even when it hurts. There's a resounding level of bravery to be found in being the person who believes in the light, even when they cannot see it.
Thank you. Hi, this is Mo from One Two Listen, and I'm in Dry Rot, an old western town. I took it upon myself to see if I could find some psychic talent. Here's how it went.